Hello and welcome to Stories from a Small Blue Marble. My name is Brian Hancock and I'll be your storyteller. Before we get started, I wanted to thank you for listening. These stories are my life in small bite-sized chunks. I have had an incredibly charmed life and I'm happy that you're here with me to enjoy some of it. So let's get started. My main goal when I left South Africa all those years ago was to sail around the world. It seemed highly unlikely that a kid from a small landlocked town at the bottom of Africa would ever be able to achieve that goal. But by the summer of 1979, I was well on my way. This story is called Fastnet Force 10 and recounts sailing in the tragic 1979 Fastnet race, where 22 people died. I'd sailed to Bulamanzi from Durban to the Caribbean, and we arrived in Antigua just in time for Antigua Race Week. It was a big regatta and boats and crews came from all over the world to compete. What I remember most were the perfect tropical sailing conditions, the copious amounts of rum, and of course the wet t-shirt contests. Dozens of really drunk people would try and walk along the pole that stretched out over the water to claim a flag that was at the end of the pole. Of course the pole was covered in grease. I don't know what the prize was, and I don't recall anyone ever making it to the flag. Antigua Race Week has since become very competitive and attracts some of the best yachts and sailors in the world. I prefer it the way it was back then, but times always change, don't they? I left the Bulamanzi and joined a brand new Swan 55, a British yacht by the name of Battlecry. It was actually a very famous yacht, and we sailed it from the Caribbean to Cowes on the Isle of Wight, which is where the boat was based. For the first time ever, I was going to be in the thick of the international yacht racing scene, and I was on a great boat with a great owner and a really good crew. I remember this so clearly. We were pulling into Cowes at the docks in the little marina at the Royal Yacht Squadron, one of the most prestigious yacht clubs in the world. Word had spread that Battlecry was coming home, and a sizable crowd had gathered. I was the bowman and had the dock lines in hand. I guess I was caught up in the excitement of it all and in my own self-importance. But as soon as we neared the dock, I jumped from the bow of Battlecry right onto the dock and then kept going right into the water on the other side. I surfaced, the crowd was laughing, I was humiliated. Welcome to England. We raced all summer and in August did the famous Fastnet race. The race has been in existence since 1925, which coincidentally was the year that my dad was born. And it was regarded as one of the toughest and best offshore races on the sailing calendar. We took off from Cowes. The race would go across the Irish Sea and then around the famous Fastnet Rock off the southern coast of Ireland, and then sail back to Plymouth on England's southwest coast. There had been some talk of a storm out in the Atlantic that might make for some rough sailing, but back then the weather information was sketchy at best, and it was aimed mostly for the shipping, not for sailors on a joyride. We took off in fairly decent weather and sailed out of the English Channel and out into the Irish Sea. It was our second night at sea when the wind really started to pick up. In the early evening, we noticed a small boat coming up from behind. It was a trimaran with two young couples on board. The boat must have been around 35 feet maximum. They were flying and buzzing the fleet, passing multi-million dollar yachts like Battlecry as if we were going backwards. They looked so young and so beautiful, and they just took up over the horizon. I came and watched around midnight. At the top of the companionway, there was an anemometer, and the needle was pegged at 60 knots. That was as high as it went. I tapped on it, figuring that it must be broken, but my crewmate told me that it had been pegged at 60 knots for a couple of hours. Then the wind really started to pick up. I think that the recorded top speed that night was around 80 knots, which is most definitely hurricane force winds. That night, 22 sailors died, including the two couples on the trimaran. They never found any trace of their boat. There were a combination of factors that led to so many deaths, most of which were caused by people abandoning their boats and getting into the life rafts, expecting it to be better. It was just a horrendous night. We were taken on water and starting to sink. We had the bilge pumps going, and no matter how much we pumped, we were sinking. Turns out that the ring frames that are part of the overall structure of the boat had cracked, and water was coming in faster than we could pump it out. The decision was made for us to retire and head for Cork on the south coast of Ireland. With the wind direction the way it was, the pressure on the broken ring frames was eased, and we managed to get things under control. At least we weren't sinking. We were close to land at dawn and saw dozens of rescue boats and helicopters going out to sea. At that point, we had no idea of the damage that had happened overnight. We pulled into the docks at the Royal Cork Yacht Club and started to straighten things out. That was where I had my first pint of Guinness, and I was hooked, of course. We were at the bar hearing more horror stories of what had happened and watched the death tally rise. It was all kind of unreal. It was also clear that it was going to take some time for Battercry to get fixed. So I thought that I'd take a little holiday and spend 2 weeks hitchhiking around Southern Ireland. When I got back to Cork, the captain of Battercry had organized a ride for me back to England. It was clear that Battercry was going to be an island for an extended time. So I sailed a little Swan 42 called Sophie B back to England. That was when I thought that I should probably call my dad to tell him about the storm. What I didn't know was that our local newspaper, the Natal Witness, had picked up the story about the storm and found out that I was on one of the boats and printed a story. The headlines were, "Local boy missing in storm, presumed dead." Below that, there was a picture of me. Back then, there were no computers, or the crew lists were written in foolscap books, and with so many deaths and so many people unaccounted for, the race officials were having a tough time keeping track of everyone. My dad had been sending telexes, but the race officials had no clue where I was, and even if I was alive or dead. I called my dad, and you can imagine his reaction. For almost 3 weeks, he had been presuming that I was dead. I think that was Mark Twain who famously said, "The rumors of my death have been greatly exaggerated." Well, I hope you enjoyed the story. It's told in more detail in my memoir, Two Bricks and a Tiki High. The story is called Fastnet Force 10. I hope that you'll buy the book and read it. As always, I hope that you enjoyed the story, and thanks for listening. For all of my books, please go to www.brianhancockbooks.org. It's .org, not .com. There you'll find all of my books, my Substack blogs, stories, and very soon my podcasts. There'll be interviews with sailing legends, and I think you'll enjoy all of the content. So please check in and say hello, and thanks, as always, for listening.